podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer, CEO of New Constructs, and today I'm going to analyze the top 10 hedge fund holdings as of the end of 2014, tell you what we think, and why or why not it may be good to be following these lead steers. First, I want to remind you how to access our research, newconstructs.com. You can find us also in Barron's, Wall Street Journal, CNBC. We're published in a lot of places because of the high quality work we do, and we make it available to you at a very inexpensive price, as low as $49 a month. You can invest with knowledge of footnotes, red flags. Why invest without understanding what's in the footnotes? I don't see any reason to take that risk. I also don't always see a good reason to do what the big hedge fund players are doing. So we went through and we wrote an article on the top 10 holdings as of the end of last year. We published this a couple months ago. But I wanted to circle back because I think it's a really interesting concept here, right? Let's take a look at what the hedge funds think versus what we think. Number one on the list, surprise, surprise, Apple. I've made a lot of publicized comments on Apple, and I was wrong. I was very wrong. I think I underestimated the sort of the loyalty effect there. I think many Apple users are willing to pay a premium price for, in some cases, an inferior product. But be that as it may, you know, look, the stock gets an attractive rating in our system. I think the upside is still pretty limited here, but you know, it's still relatively cheap. The expectations in the stock price for profits to only be 20% greater for what they are right now. I think long term, the company is not very well positioned competitively, as I said several months ago on air and in writing. And so, you know, I have mixed feelings on Apple. I mean, at the end of the day, look, they are generating a ton of cash. Competitively, I don't think their products are going to keep them distinguished from the competition. It's going to be all about marketing and loyalty. And look, as long as people are willing to act somewhat irrationally and pay more money for a product that is not as good as others, you're going to be in good shape. That's an amazing feat. So those are our thoughts on Apple. The number two company on the list is healthcare company Actavis. It's the number one healthcare company on the list, and it is a classic sort of what we call roll-up story, okay? Profits have not grown by much at all, only 4% since 2009. They declined 30% last year, and these guys have been on huge acquisition run, okay? Revenue went up in 2014 by a lot, 51%, but its cash flows did not go up. Negative $29 billion in cash flow in 2014, cumulative negative free cash flow of minus $44 billion, negative $44 billion since 2009. Acquisitions may generate some increased near-term revenue, but at the end of the day, and net income, but at the end, or earnings per share, but it's not generating cash flow, right? And there's a big difference there. To justify the stock price, the company's got to grow profits at over 7%. It's got to grow profits by 43% compounded annually for 12 years, over 40% for 12 years. At that point in time, the revenue would be $49 billion, or more than what Walmart currently generates. So be careful following the footsteps of investors in that one, or hedge fund guys in that place. Allergan, you know, we've written a lot about Allergan. It's about to be acquired by Actavis, so that sort of speaks for itself. I think the Allergan people probably get a good deal. Actavis people did not get such a good deal. We think that at a cheaper price, Allergan would have been a better deal. But, you know, at the end of the day, hey, there's a lot of silly money out there. And sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Number four on the list, Facebook. Facebook is a great business. My brother works at Facebook. He's a great guy. I met the people he works with. Love him. Love the campus. Great company. Not so sure it's a great stock. The valuation's high. You know, that doesn't mean they're not going to blow it out of the water. But again, it's about risk. How much risk do you want to take? Because there's tons of stocks we can point you to where there's almost no risk in the stock price. There's always some risk. But when I say no risk, I mean the current price implies permanent cash flow decline. I'd rather buy a stock that had a price that implied permanent cash flow decline than I would one that needs to grow profit by nearly 15% for almost two decades. That's the current price. That's what Facebook at $78. At the time we wrote the article, it was at $78. Facebook has to grow profits by 14% compounded annually for about 19 years. That's to justify the stock price, okay? So, hey, again, great company. Doesn't mean it's a good stock. There's a big difference, folks. And Facebook looks like a great company, maybe not such a good stock, just because the expectations are already so high. One of the stocks that we do like on the list a little bit more is Medtronic. It's a well-run pharmaceutical company. It found its list, you know, recently in terms of in the top 10 holdings of it got on our list here because it is a top 10 holding of the 39 hedge funds with an average weight of 7%. So it's a lot of hedge fund money in this. They've grown revenues and NOPAT pretty consistently over the last 5 years. They got a 14% return on invested capital, which is pretty awesome, right? You know, but the price, again, not so great. You know, that's the thing about these headline stocks, everybody. Everybody knows who's in them, so it's too late, right? So following the sort of the portfolios of hedge funds, you know, it's kind of tough because you really want to have bought it when they bought it, not when you find out that they bought it. And there could be many months difference between those two and many, many, many percentage points difference in terms of expected return, right? So $79, Medtronic has a price to economic book value ratio of 1.3, which means the market expects Medtronic's profits to grow by 30% over where they are today. That's the NPV of future profits, incremental profits is 30% higher to in the future than it is today. So that's not a huge amount of growth. If you can assume they're going to do 3% for the next 10 years, which is consistent with what they've done in the past, then the stock is fairly priced. So again, nothing big to jump up and down about there, but it is interesting point. Number six on the list, Valeant Pharmaceuticals, ticker VRX. Value destruction continues is our headline here. They were not deterred by the setback and not being able to get Allergan, so they went on and bought somebody else. They're ready to spend that money. They're definitely ready to get in those to buy those stocks that they're going to buy, right? That's the thing that Bill Ackman did. He went in, he said, you know what, here's a plan. I'm going to go buy a major stake in Allergan, and then, hey guys at Valeant, we're gonna come out a few months later and say, we're going to buy Allergan at a big price, at a big increase. That's how I make money. So you got to keep in mind, I've said this many times, Wall Street insiders have an advantage. There's no question about it. Recognize that you're operating at a disadvantage to what they can do. Let's get to the takeaway here. To justify its current price of $202 a share, or the current price when we wrote the article, Valeant must grow operating profit by 31% compounded annually for the next 10 years. What else do I need to say? That's expensive. Again, you may want to take that kind of risk. I suggest you don't have to, right? The market's been really good to us recently. We've had some good years here. Let's not get silly with our money here. Let's be safe. Let's be smart. And let's be smart about the advice we give. Let's understand what kind of risk we're putting our clients' portfolios at when we make recommendations in popular stocks. Liberty Mobile, LBTYA. Buffett owns this one. Last year, they earned a return on capital of only 5%, well below the weighted average cost of capital. They've had negative free cash flow every year since 2005, and $48 billion in debt, which equals the market cap. Buffett is one of the smartest investors of all time in history. Doesn't mean he gets every single one right. Right, as he said, his batting average only has to be slightly better than 500 for him to do well over time. To justify the current stock price, they have to grow their profits by 13% compounded annually for the next 10 years. So that's a tough call. That's a tough call. Look, we love Mr. Buffett. We have great respect for him. But you know what? He maybe got into the stock when it was a lot cheaper. Doesn't mean you should buy it now, right? In fact, I'm sure he got into it a long time ago. He's made a lot of money. And, you know, he's got reason to believe that potentially he'll make a little bit more. But his position here is different from yours. American International Group, number 8 on the list. You know, this is a turnaround story, right? It's pretty fairly priced. It's nothing, you know, no big red flags here. But with little upside to be had, you know, and interest rates where they are today, it's kind of hard to be in an insurance company or a finance company, right? You know, around $55 a share, it's not really terribly over or undervalued. So, you know, again, why be in something that doesn't have a lot of upside potential and still has risk when you can be in something that's attractively rated? General Motors, an American icon awakens, number 9. If the company can grow profits by just 6% compounded annually for the next 7 years, the stock's worth $53 a share. It was at 38 when we wrote the article. That price had a price to economic book value ratio of 0.9. So at $38 a share, market is saying that General Motors profits will permanently decline by 10%. Permanently decline by 10%. That's what I call attractive risk reward, ladies and gentlemen. A price to economic book value of 0.9. That's good. Now that's the valuation side only, right? The economics of the business, gotten better for sure. I mean, the return on invested capital, 12% for GM, that's awesome. That's amazing for them. That's a really big, good number. So we're liking GM these days, especially when the expectations are so low. We like cheap stocks. We like stocks with low risk. We like to minimize risk. In a world where you can't control the future, the best you can do is minimize risk. That's what it's about. Number 10 on our list, Microsoft. We like the stock. We own it in our hedge fund. If they can grow profit by just 7% compounded annually for 8 years, stock's worth 68, right? Currently, it's only at $44. At least that's what it was when we wrote the report. And at $44, they had a price to economic book ratio of 1.0. 1.0, that means the market value equals the economic book value, which means the market believes, or the market price implies, the company's profits will stay the same forever. No growth. No growth value. The stock is trading at no growth. Right, that's good risk. Low risk, right? Would you rather bet that Microsoft may grow its profits over where they are today? Or would you bet that Netflix will grow profits at a rate even higher than what its stock price already implies? See what I'm saying? When you compare those two options, one from a risk perspective, from a prudent man perspective, from a fiduciary responsibility perspective, one makes a lot more sense than the other. And what I would also end with, don't always trust what the hedge fund guys are doing. They've got access to information, capital, management in a way that you do not. Make sure you make good investments that are good for you, that are suitable for you, for your clients. The suitability of the client is what matters. And we don't always have the same kind of risk tolerance that some of these big hedge fund money managers have.